Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in West Poplarville.
Not East Poplarville, West.
There's West and there's regular.
There is no East.
There is no East. Yeah. Poplarville is East Poplarville.
Well, it needs to be called East Poplarville.
Well, I mean, you know, you have Carrollton and North Carrollton. They don't call it South Carrollton.
I don't know why.
The Twin Cities of
we've got to be symmetrical here. We can't just have one and not the other.
We don't have it.
Yeah. Somebody creating East Poplarville.
I'm just saying. And there's South Haven. There's no North Haven.
That would be a little weird, though.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com is the place to go. You can find just about anything you're looking for there. If you want to start the morning with a great cup of coffee, go to StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business needs. What a fine slogan. Let me break it down, though. It just means this. You want to get customers in your business, you need to call Pip Printing and Signs. They have the materials and the know-how to put together a plan for you that's going to get your business going the way you want it to. And they've been doing it for 30-plus years here in the state of Mississippi. A long time. 30-plus years as a printing business. And the thing is this. You're a state fan. You own a business. You're already spending money on printing. Give your business to Printing and Signs. 10% of your sale goes straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. You've become a Bulldog Initiative business without spending an extra dime of your own money. When you need printing, call our friend Cam Baker, 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. You're looking for new stuff. You're looking for the new logos. You're looking to make a new statement. It's time for a new era here at Mississippi State. Be a part of it with a purchase from College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. This weekend, enjoy a great brunch after church or before church. Or, you know, not during church. I wouldn't try to duck out in the middle of the sermon and come back. That probably won't work. But after or before, yes, absolutely. Head over to Restaurant Tyler for a fantastic meal on Sunday brunch. Everybody loves Sunday brunch. The best one in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank has 16 locations throughout central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only where all those locations are so you can find one closest to you, but they're also going to show you all the services they offer that's going to help manage your money. You did the hard work. You got your money at Priority One Bank. Let them take it from there. Let them help you invest, diversify. What other financial buzzwords can I throw in here? And get your money working for you. Again, the website is PriorityOneBank.com. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Oh, hey there, Robbie.
Hi there, Brian.
There we go. Good show today. We're going to do an opponent preview a little later in the show. Gerard Hamilton from PowerMizzou.com will join us to talk about the Tigers. But first... All right, Robbie. It just continues on for Mississippi State. Two more commitments since we last spoke. Let's start with the guy who I'm the most interested in, Kevontae Henry. defensive end out of a junior Cerritos College in Los Angeles, California, junior college, but previously signed with Oklahoma out of high school. I reached out to a couple of people from who know Oklahoma, and I said, big get, and they were like, that's a guy they were not happy about losing, is Kevontae Henry. It feels like if he were a 2024 guy, could be on campus right now, he could contribute immediately. I read the article, though, on 3, where it clearly says he is not. He's a 2025 guy. If you read that article, you would know he is a 2025 guy. I read that article, Robbie. Tell us a little bit more about this guy. He looks like a guy who can really make an impact when he finally gets here to campus.
Yeah, I like him a lot. We first heard about this when Paul came on the board two weeks ago and said that he was on campus. He was visiting, might have even been taking part in camp. I can't remember exactly, but whenever you see names like this that you haven't heard before, the first thing you do is Google, and the first thing you do is go look at their profile, go look at their bio when they were at another school, in this case, Oklahoma, and then you go watch the film. And right away, like first or second play on the film, I was like, oh, yeah, this is exactly what Mississippi State needs. And then you see him up close and personal, and you're like, yeah, they really need that guy this year. So we saw him the other day, and really good-looking kid. He's ready to get back to work. I'm not going to compare him to Montez Sweat just yet as far as physicality and all that stuff.
That was my first thought, man.
But same kind of skill set in some regards. You know, like I said, I'm not ready to say he's going to run a 4.4 or whatever Montez ran at the combine and he's a first round pick, but he's that kind of impact type player that he can come off the edge and make some plays for you. And also reminded me of him in similar fashion to the way he kind of, you know, handled himself in the recruiting process. I don't think this is a guy that's really interested in going on a lot of visits, being courted, things like that. He's already done all that. That's what you find a lot of times with these bounce-back players. And had he – I think it's a grade issue for him. So had he had the grades and all, this is a guy that's probably a Power 5 guy anyway leaving Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. But he had to go to junior college. And the reason that he has to go another season is he's got to graduate JUCO because he was not in good standing, I don't believe, when he entered. He's got to graduate this season. So, and I think he's on pace to graduate in December. So, no issues there. But that's to answer a lot of questions out there. That's the reason that he's not able to help you this year. He's going to have to go through another season. But tremendous upside from this guy. I think he's going to put his hands on the ground. He's going to be a defensive end, probably.
Yeah.
I don't see linebacker with him. I think he's definitely defensive end all the way.
He's a guy who, like 10 years ago, could have been a Jack linebacker at Alabama in that 3-4 scheme when they used to put those just monsters out there. But nowadays in college football, no, he has to be on the ground, I think.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I think this is a really good get for Mississippi State. I think he's going to help them right away next year and should be competing for starting reps immediately.
The other commitment, safety out of – where are you there? Out of Lynn Haven, Florida, Locavian Jackson. Lojack? I love the name. Come on. You already got me on board with this guy just from the fact that we can call him Lojack. I don't know why I like that. I just do. You mentioned it the other day, big defensive backs. This kid's 6'2", 195-pound safety. This is another one that, you know, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this on Friday's podcast. Only a couple of offers, Mississippi State, Miami, and Troy. So, you know, the offer sheet, probably not exactly what you want. But, again, a kid with the big frame that if you're going to take a developmental guy, you know, if Miami wanted him, that's probably a pretty decent sign. We'll see where it goes. But, again, I just like the name.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool nickname, to be honest with you. And I've always liked the nicknames that are just right off the name, too.
Yes.
Like, you can just use your nickname straight from your name, like B-Dad.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
That didn't work.
Yeah. Ralk.
Ralk.
No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
My video game name was Rat Jar.
Yeah, no. No. We have a friend who can do this, though. Johnny Sock. It works.
Yes.
It works.
And it played right into his...
It's Sopranos love.
His whole Sopranos love. It was great.
Yeah,
that's a good
exactly.
one.
So, yeah. So that's it now. So Mississippi State now sitting on a total, I believe, is it 12 commitments at this time? Are you Mississippi State? 11 commitments this time. We are still under the impression there's a couple of more to come at this point from last weekend's official visits that they expect. They are, I don't know if expecting is the right word because you know how recruiting is and things can always change, but they feel pretty good about getting two more guys out of that. If that's the case, Robbie, and they get, what, 9 commitments, 10 commitments out of those 15 visitors, I don't know that I've ever seen a success rate like that. If those guys all stick, that's I don't care who you're recruiting. That's just a good job. There's just no getting around that fact.
No doubt. I mean, look at the hit percentage. That might be one of the best hit percentages on a official visit weekend with like more than 10 players that I've seen. And there's these visit weekends where they have 5 or 6 and they get all of them or most of them commits or whatever, but pretty impressive. And the most impressive thing I think was like they're going after defensive backs. They're trying to hit the high school circuit hard on defensive backs, and they're landing them. So you're building depth in that room. You're probably going to need some defensive backs out of the portal anyway, but just building some depth there. When we're looking at it this year, and we're going, you know, you have a couple injuries, could be in trouble. This is a really good, smart move by Matt Barnes and Jeff Lebby to go out there and build that room up with these high school recruits. And then you fill in with some impact guys probably out of the portal too. So I think that it was a really impressive weekend. And there's still, like you said, probably a couple of guys left on the board. I'm expecting one this weekend that I think everybody's going to be excited about. Not from the coming official visitors, but from this past
weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, one probably down the road too, but yeah, really impressive job by Lebby this past weekend.
One thing that I always look at in recruiting, because you either trust your coaches or you don't, right? So if you trust your coaches and with Lebby, I don't have any reason not to yet. Right. It's, are you getting your first targets? When you look at, these are the guys they brought in first, right? These are the guys they obviously had an eye on. They were high on their recruiting board. These are the guys that they wanted. To be able to get 10 of those guys, that tells you that they came into the weekend with a plan, and they were able to execute the plan, and they were able to get the guys on board that they want to get on board. And that, to me, is always a positive sign. You know, when you see a guy come in for a visit, and he talks good about it, and then a couple weeks later, he's committed somewhere else, and then you see a new name pop up, that guy was plan B. And sometimes, you know, with Mississippi State, it's gotten to plan C and plan D from time to time. If you're getting your plan A guys, that to me is always a good sign in recruiting. You know, when you're not having to, you know, bring in new names constantly, that's always a good thing for me. So, you know, I'm encouraged by the early results with Lebby. Yes, these aren't 4- and 5-star guys, but at this point where this program is, I mean, I just think that this is the kind of player they're going to be able to attract. And, you know, you just have to start winning. I can't say keep winning at this point. You got to start winning under Jeff Lebby. You got to start showing yourself off offensively. And Hutzler has to go out and show that he is a quality, competent defensive coordinator. If you do those things, everything else will fall into place, especially with the effort that seems to be being put into recruiting for Mississippi State. You know, we have seen over the past decade some coaches who, quite honestly, did not put the effort into recruiting that needed to be there. There's no question with Jeff Lebby, in my opinion, that he's putting in the effort. He's putting in the work to get these guys. So I feel like once you start upgrading the quality of athlete visiting Mississippi State, I think the results can stay the same.
Yeah, there's a lot to say about the people that just work harder than everybody else as far as like recruiting is concerned. Like if you're outworking somebody, you can make a difference with a lot of these kids that you normally wouldn't be in the game with. And that's what I see from like Ladarian Clardy, who's a 4-star. And I mean, he talked about they're hitting on their plan A's or whatever. A couple of their plan A's were on campus this weekend this past weekend, and they didn't get a commitment, but they did make a move with them. They did move up the ladder a little bit, and Clardy was one of those. I think State's battling it out with Ole Miss, Florida State, teams like that. And he talked about one of the things that really stood out to him is Mississippi State was the first team to offer him in the SEC. And they've treated him like a priority. That matters to a lot of kids. So, you know, the harder you recruit kids, the better your chances are. Even if you don't have, the star power as a head coach, or you don't have the most NIL money or whatever, recruiting hard matters.
It's still about relationships at the end of the day. I really do believe, and it's something that Charlie hit on with us the other day when we had him at Obie's, is that, you know, it's not Amazon. You can't just say, okay, I've got the money to buy a five-star defensive tackle, click, let me get one. It's, you still have to recruit them. And so, you know, building those relationships is going to be key. And you hit on something else. You know, there are people who say they work hard, and there are people who work hard. And, you know, the results kind of show themselves in that area a lot of times. So, you know, when somebody is constantly like, oh, I work so hard, I don't know if that's necessarily the truth. The real hard workers are just working, in my opinion. So, very, very interesting.
Yeah, the time
see.
That you're spending telling people how hard you're working,
you're working.
Not actually working.
You're working. That's what I'm saying. So, good stuff from Jeff Lebby. I'm very interested. And we're going to talk a little bit more in our podcast on Friday. That'll be our very rare Saturday podcast when we're at the Catfish Cabin. We should at that time have the list of official visitors for Mississippi State who are coming in this weekend. 25, I think, is the number they're looking to bring in. Over 20, at least going to be over 20 official visitors. That's a huge weekend for Mississippi State. Don't think they'll have the same number of commits, but they should be able to get a few guys out of there. So we should be able to talk more about that on Friday in Boyle at the Catfish Cabin as part of the Superior Catfish Summer Tour this Friday. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Whenever you're cooking out this weekend, and you will be cooking out, the weather's nice, it's summer, hit the grills, nothing beats the sizzle of beef. Oh, I was at Kroger today, Robbie. I had to restrain myself. They had it wasn't a tomahawk ribeye, but it was a bone in ribeye sitting out there, like a 20-ounce ribeye. I was just like, oh, I want that.
It's not Valentine's Day yet.
Yeah, I couldn't pull the trigger. I should have done it. But you should. You should pull the trigger on that. You should grab yourself a steak to throw on the grill this weekend. Nobody's going to be mad at you when you say, hey, we're having steaks tonight. So hopefully you'll do that. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place for the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. Talking about the prime rib sandwich. We're talking about smoked wings, pulled pork grilled cheese, and of course, those pork rind nachos! Where you go out, if you're going out this weekend for dinner in Starkville, let's put Two Brothers on our list. Let's put that at the top of the list. And if not Two Brothers, how about heading over and trying the Older Brother? If you haven't been over there yet, you need to get over there and grab you a fancy sandwich. You need to grab the Croque Monsieur. You need to grab the Muffaletta, the Reuben, or Robbie's favorite, the Older Brother Burger. That thing is a gourmet burger, as good as any burger you're going to find in the city of Starkville. Check them out over at the old Two Brothers location on Rue de Grand Fromage. The Older Brother and Two Brothers in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. If you need technology for your business, give them a call. They've got top name brands and great pricing. But more importantly, when something goes wrong, you can give them a call back and they'll take care of it for you. A lot of times the same day, because you're in Mississippi, they're in Mississippi. This isn't a situation where you're going to call a 1-800 number and be in a hole for 45 minutes and they'll make an appointment for you with an out-of-state technician. He'll be there in 7 to 10 days. You can't wait that long. Don't wait that long. Call Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, you need to be headed to Maroon & Co. And if you're not going to be in Starkville anytime soon, if you're, you know, you're waiting on the games and you're like, I need to get my stuff before. Hey, just go to the website, maroonandco.com. And the great thing is, online or in person, our promo code THUNDER15, it works all the time. THUNDER15, 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply, But check out all the great gear. Looking right now at some of the stuff they've got on here, I mean, you want it. You want it. Some of these, they've got the Mossy Oak stuff, that Bottomland stuff that you're always talking about, Robbie. It's there. The Bulldog Initiative polos and pullovers, it's there. All of the new logos, the interlocking, the state script, they've got it all. The state script coach's jacket is fantastic. Definitely worth checking that out. And again, if you're getting 15% off with the promo code, give it a look. Before you go to the games this fall, head to Maroon & Co. Week 2 of the opponent preview series is here, and we're going to be talking about the Missouri Tigers. Before Robbie and I discuss it, let's go to our interview. Gerard Hamilton, he covers the Tigers for PowerMizzou.com. That's the Rivals site covering Missouri. Let's get his thoughts on what should be a very interesting Missouri team. Week 2 of the opponent preview series finds us talking about the Missouri Tigers. Gerard Hamilton, PowerMizzou.com. That's the Rivals affiliate covering the Tigers up there. Glad to have him back on the podcast. And Gerard, I mean, this is a team that's got expectations. There's no getting around that. You know, when you look at the SEC this year, people are going to tell you that they think Missouri can be a playoff team. So I'll ask you first, is that a fair expectation for this team?
Absolutely. It seems like that's what they're kind of gunning for as far as how they've treated this offseason and the pieces they've gotten. All the momentum that's built up over the past, 10 to 12 months, they kind of know, like, this is our window, per se. And this 12-team playoff, I mean, I guess it couldn't have happened at a better time, because I think they finished at 7th or 8th in the country or something like that, the win over Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. So there's a lot of momentum. So I think it's fair expectations, because those are the expectations it seems like they have for themselves.
When you talk about quarterbacks in the SEC, if you said, name some of the top ones, I feel like Brady Cook gets kind of lost in the mix there. He had a really good season a year ago. He's got a lot of experience. He's going to be one of the key quarterbacks in the conference this year. What's your expectation of him this season? How much better can he be in his third year at Mizzou?
There's still room for improvement, but it'd be hard to be better than he was last year. And that's not because, he can't do it. He just had a really good year. I mean, he didn't really turn over the ball. He had that streak. I think the conference record for most pass attempts without a interception. And that went from like week 8 or week 9 of 2022 to week 5 of last year. So it was a while he got better at that. Obviously not having a torn labrum in his throwing arm or throwing shoulder, that helps a lot. But he just started seeing the field so much better last year, and he started making the right plays, and he also got a lot of help from his offensive line and playmakers. So there's still room to improve, because I think this offense, even though they're losing Cody Schrader, who was a, All-American, I think this offense has room to grow, because they brought some talent in on the offensive line, but they've also retained a lot of pieces, and there's a lot of development going on. So I think he can get better. Because, his supporting cast has gotten a little bit better. And you don't really say that too often for teams that are not, I guess, in the title pictures, mm-hmm. or haven't been in the title picture perennially, like an Alabama or something like that. You don't say that for teams like this, because a lot of people think it would be a one-off or something like that. But they've got the talent coming back.
You mentioned Cody Schrader, one of the best stories in college football last year. Came out of nowhere to be this dominant running back. Not necessarily at the running back position, but is there another Cody Schrader on this roster, a transfer that, kind of under the radar that could step up and be a superstar for this Missouri team?
Off the top of my head, I can't say necessarily in that sense, because when you start winning games and you start recruiting the way they're recruiting, and now they've got, four, they're beating out the likes of Alabama and Texas and Michigan's, or, some, not all, but some 4-star prospects, 5-star prospect every now and then. The players they're starting to get are a little bit better. Or at least, like with Cody Schrader, he was killing D2, but again, it was coming from a D2 school and he started off as a walk-on. And I know you said not exactly like Cody Schrader, but I'm just saying overall, they're not going to get too many diamonds in the rough, because they're starting to get players you may have heard about. Or, I know this recruit coming in and stuff like that. Or I know that transfer or whatever. So I don't know if there's something like that. But as far as just a player that's like, they can be really well, the first thought comes to my mind, it's not a, stat productioning type position. But I think it's just on the offensive line, getting Caden Green from Oklahoma. Rivals has him as like a top 15 player in the transfer rankings. So, I mean, he could play guard. He played left guard last year as a freshman. He could also play left tackle. And then they brought in Marcus Bryant from SMU. So when I look at the team, I'm thinking about who can have the biggest impact. It's they're basically the left side of the line because they're going to be replacing an All-American at left tackle. And then they're making, I think they'll be making an improvement at left guard. Even though Xavier Delgado had his best season last year, I think they got something cooking over there on the left side of the line.
I don't feel like Missouri's defense, excuse me, got enough credit last season. They were really, really good outside of that game against LSU, which was just a crazy, you know, back and forth game. I know they lost a couple of key pieces from last season, but how good can that unit be in 2024?
It can still be pretty good. Losing DeMarcus Robinson, Ennis Ray Straw, Chris Abersdrain, Tyron Hopper, that's four. Oh, Jalen Carlisle, no, that's five draft picks.
Yeah.
On defense, so that's going to be tough. I don't know right now if they've got a player. I don't know if they've got a player where you're just like instantaneously, he is going to be the guy. And I'm trying to think off my head, just make sure I'm not missing nobody. But I don't know if there's one of those. I feel like it's going to be a good defense. It's going to be a lot of how do I put this? It's going to be a good defense. I just don't know if I can think of a player off the top. Like last year, kind of figured Darius Robinson, he was going to be like, there's the NFL guy. Same thing with KAD and Ennis Rakestraw as cornerbacks. Those are NFL guys. Tyron Hopper, to a degree, that's an NFL guy. I can't think off the top of my head right now. But when we get into fall camp and the first couple games of the season, we'll see who those players may be. Drink has a couple of people in mind that he thinks it will step up, like Dre Norwood, who's been basically their CB3 the last couple of years. He thinks he's a, you know, all SEC type of talent. So if they continue with this development like they have the last couple of years, I think they can still be a really good defense this fall.
Is this Missouri team going to be 7-0 when they head to Tuscaloosa?
I got to think about the schedule. They definitely should be 4-0. When they face Texas A&M, who is week six? I don't know if you have the schedule. I don't have the schedule.
I think it's Auburn, isn't it? It's UMass. Yeah.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was UMass. Okay. Auburn. I think they probably should be 7-0. The trickiest game is that Texas A&M game, but every year Texas A&M is tricky. And I don't know if you've seen this, my editor gave, he put out, he compared NFL teams to college teams, and he made a great one for Texas A&M. And he said they're kind of like the Chargers. They've got a lot of that preseason hype. And some years you don't know if they're going to actually live up to that hype, or, you know, if it's a little bit under expectations, but they're always going to have the hype, and you're going to see, and you always kind of see why, because they're bringing a lot of talented pieces. So that Texas A&M is going to be tricky. So definitely no lower than 6-1, but I think they can be 7-0 when they face Alabama.
Chargers have much better looking cheerleaders. I'll say that. this is the stretch for Missouri is obviously those back to back games with Alabama, and then they have the bye week, and then they have Oklahoma. That's going to what determines what Missouri is. Their final three games of the season at South Carolina, at Mississippi State, and then Arkansas at home. Likely to be favored in all three of those games. Does that make that stretch a little more dangerous? Because it could be a situation where you think, okay, we got through the tough part and kind of can kind of cruise in. Is there a trap game potential in any of those three games?
Any SEC team or any SEC conference game can be a trap game. Especially when you look at their schedule, I think, not even just those last three you named, but everything outside of Alabama, Oklahoma, and maybe to a degree Texas A&M feels like a trap game because there's no LSU, no Tennessee, no Texas, no Georgia, no Ole Miss. You've basically avoided the gauntlet of SEC teams to usually get to a playoff. And now you don't have that for this year, and you don't have it for next year. So you can't afford to be losing games that you most likely should win. Alabama, Oklahoma, no one's really going to, you know, blow a gasket over those losses, although I think they need at least one, because when your schedule sets up so nicely like Missouri's has, If you don't beat them, there could be an argument like you're 10-2, but you beat everybody you were supposed to beat. You didn't really beat one that people were wondering like, oh, can you really hang with such and such? You know what I mean? So I think all those games are trap games, but I think they need to win all those, and they needed to at least get one of Alabama or Oklahoma.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you a little bit on that one. Trod Hamilton, PowerMizzou.com. Thanks so much for your time, man. We'll talk to you again in November.
Appreciate you, man.
Robbie, when they announced the schedules, or not really the schedule, they announced the opponents last year, and you know, you looked at state and you're like, oh gosh, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, that's going to be tough. But when you saw Missouri at that time, you were like, well, maybe that's a game state could find a way to win. And then Missouri went and became this powerhouse team last season. Is there a, you know, we've talked so much about Ole Miss and losing Quinshon Judkins and what that's going to mean to them. Is it possible that he's not the running back that's going to be missed the most? Could it be Corey Schrader from Missouri, who came out of nowhere to rush for 1,600 yards last year? Have we not talked about that enough?
He was pretty freaking good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And that was a guy that was, wasn't he like D2 or something?
You're correct. Completely off the radar to lead the SEC in rushing.
I love those kind of stories, man. And that's the bright side of the transfer portal too, because that guy would have not had that kind of spotlight on him had he not transferred to Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And like those kind of situations where you can obviously like upgrade and make a better situation for yourself, that's where the transfer portal is a really good thing. So, yeah, he definitely will be missed, I think. But I mean, their offense started picking up steam last year. It wasn't anything special to me the previous 3 years, or 2 years, whenever he got here. But he found something. You know, I don't know if it's personnel or if this is just – you know, he's gotten his system in and gotten his guys in, but he certainly found something there.
And then, you know, from a receiver standpoint, there's a lot of focus on Luther Burden, and there should be, right? 86 catches a season ago, 1,200 yards, one of the most electric players in the country. But they also bring back Theo Weiss and Mookie Cooper, who caught a combined 85 passes last year, over 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns between the two of them. From a starting perspective, I don't know if they have the depth, but from a starting perspective, Missouri has got as good receivers as anybody. Brady Cook last year took a big step forward. You know, he only threw 5 picks to 21 touchdowns. I think obviously when you look at him, you want to say, can he get more scores? But they were so good running the ball last year. Can Cook carry them to a playoff berth? Is he that good of a quarterback, you think?
He's pretty good. Impressed with him last year. Like you said, I mean, the thing is, he's got some good pieces around him. They're returning some really good players. The running back situation is I don't really know what they got there, so I'm not sure expect.
You know, for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, if their scheme is really good, then it shouldn't matter. They should be able to, you know, get. They should have the guy that they feel like can take them and go from there, but. And the receiver, like you said, the receivers look to be really good. I really like Theo Weiss, and who I believe was at Oklahoma before. Yep. And Luther Burden, obviously. That's like they always seem to have like a guy that pops up on their radars, like the only elite level recruit that they have in the state of Missouri. Like I don't think of Missouri as a football state.
Right. You know?
But they always seem to have like a high 4-star or a 5-star guy that's a Missouri guy.
And they get him.
They're able to get in.
Yeah.
And several of them have been wide receivers.
Yeah. Yeah. So Missouri this year, the running back, they've got a transfer in from Georgia State named Marcus Carroll. Last year at Georgia State, he rushed for 1,350 yards and 13 touchdowns. So pretty good player on the surface there. So offensively, they should be very good. They lost some good pieces defensively. I think they had 6 guys, as Gerard told us, drafted into the NFL. So that's a little bit of a rebuild. So they may have to rely a little bit more on the offense this year. Their schedule is what really helps them, right? They don't play Georgia. They don't play Texas. They don't play Ole Miss. They don't play Tennessee. They do have games with Oklahoma and with Alabama, but that Oklahoma game is at home. And, I mean, I think we're going to find out in a couple of weeks when we talk about it. I'm not super high on Oklahoma. They have a great chance to be 7-0 when they play in Tuscaloosa. They do have a game against college against Texas A&M in that first seven games. That'll be tough. They have to host Auburn, so we'll see how that goes. But they could be 7-0 and a top five team in the country, maybe top 10 team for sure when they head to Tuscaloosa. So, and then they finished the year, and this is something I asked them about. They finished the year at South Carolina, at Mississippi State, and then Arkansas at home. They'll be favored in all those games, but that makes it a little tricky, right? I mean, if they're 8-2 going or 7-2 going in the last three games, you think that they might go, okay, we navigated the gauntlet, and here we go. We can close out strong here, and maybe they overlook a team, and maybe that team could be Mississippi State. We'll just have to wait and see. So next week's the Tennessee Volunteers, Robbie. We have to talk about old Rocky Top, one of your favorite places, I know.
Are we not breaking down their schedule?
To Missouri?
Yeah.
No, this is not an SEC preview. This is an opponent preview.
Okay. We'll be back.
We will hit Missouri up in about, let's see, we got LSU next week. So in 2 weeks, because we skip Ole Miss and Mississippi State till the end. So we'll be back to talk about the Tigers, and we'll break down their schedule in 2 weeks. All right, tomorrow's show, we have a big picture question for tomorrow's show. Development. It's always been a buzzword here at Mississippi State. Is there still room for developmental programs in college football in 2024? We're going to ask that. Plus, my interview with Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Again, we're just talking some football, some big picture stuff. We hit a little bit on the Big Ten, so that's where he lives. So some Big Ten stuff, but we definitely talked about Mississippi State. You'll want to check that interview out as well. All right, guys, have a great Thursday. We'll be back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian. Hey, Dad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.